whole objective here was to try to achieve all electronic television. And at that time, it was not at all certain that all electronic television could be achieved. When you think of the amount of power that was available at that time, measuring the beam current in microamperes and the voltages in a few thousand volts, as I remember, we had about 1/3 of a watt of electron beam power, and the objective was to produce a nice, great, big, bright television picture with about 1/3 of a watt. Well, nowadays, with improvements in electron guns and power supplies and other features, as well as very, very sizable improvements in the efficiencies of phosphors, luminescent materials, these tubes have a lot more power, and of course the brightness, as everyone knows, is quite adequate. Now, both of those reference standard materials were green emitting materials. And I remember people looking at some of the early demonstrations getting so fed up with seeing a green Mickey Mouse and a green mayor of Philadelphia and a green everything. And they started pleading, well, make it something else just for a change, like yellow, for example. A further disadvantage of the zinc sulfide copper material was that its afterglow, its phosphorescence, was much too long, so that if anything moved, such as a person shaking his head, it would blur, or there'd be a long comet-like tail after a baseball or a tennis ball flying through the air in the picture. And furthermore, that particular material had its efficiency greatly decreased by grinding it and doing the other things of baking and so forth that had to be done to apply it in the actual kinescope. Very sensitive to impurities. Well, starting with the zinc silicate manganese material, which was the willemite, that was a rugged material. It could be treated and mistreated without too much difficulty. Its efficiency wasn't very high, but it was something that we could work with, and we did work with, and it was and still is a standard material that emits the green light in oscilloscope tubes. One of the early things I did with that was substitute germanium for silicon. That became my first patent. It was a substantially yellower green light, and it turned out to be excellent for alpha particle excitation. Matter of fact, shortly before the war, one of our people went to the United States Radium Company and was talking about materials that might be useful in the war effort, and he happened to mention the zinc germanate manganese, and the U.S. radium man knew almost to the month exactly how long it would be before that patent would expire. The next step in working from this oxygen-dominated material was to heat the material to 1,600 degrees Celsius, centigrade, whereupon it melted, and then quench it in a little platinum dish in water. And portions of that material then would assume a different crystal structure and have a much yellower emission. One of the troubles was that other portions didn't change. They kept the original crystal structure, and they still luminesced green. So we'd have to break the whole thing up. We had little speckles of crystals, fragments of powdery stuff, that under ultraviolet, with tweezers, we had to pick these yellow specks out of the total mess of green and yellow. The technician I had, Harold Rhodes, I remember after an hour or so saying, you know, this is like trying to pick fly manure out of pepper. Thus far, all of the luminescent materials that were of any consequence had fixed colors. Whatever the color was, you couldn't change it by varying the constituents in the material. The next major step that I made was to partially substitute beryllium for the zinc in the zinc silicate manganese. And I remember it was late one evening, about 6 o'clock, when we took that particular material in this little platinum crucible out of the furnace. And Harold Rhodes, my technician, and I, after the thing had cooled and we put it under ultraviolet light and then a glow discharge, saw it glowing a good healthy yellow. and strong. So we smiled and shook hands and went home.